Welcome to the fourth Clemson Dubcast. Friday of game week, first game week, really exciting time of year, best time of year, in my humble opinion. Thanks to everyone out there for listening over the last, I guess, less than a week. About 8,500 downloads, which is way more than I anticipated going in. So really, really appreciate that. Just did the first Thursday, the weekly Thursday video breakdown segment yesterday on TigerIllustrated.com. Always a fun offering to put together. Always a content item that our subscribers really, really enjoy. Plenty of good recruiting info at TigerIllustrated.com. So if you aren't already a member, not sure what you're waiting on. This week's guest, or this Friday's guest, Robert Smith, former safety for the Clemson Tigers, was a senior on that great 2014 defense that's really the standard by which all subsequent defenses at Clemson have been measured. Long conversation, was planning on 30 minutes, went about triple that. It was just that good. I could have sat there with him for 2 or 3 hours. So really always interesting to get the perspective of players on the transition of to life after football. That's something I don't think that we as media, as fans, as a general populace think enough about, talk enough about, because these aren't just disposable sort of commodities that you forget about as you move on to the next safety or the next running back or whatever. So really excited about this conversation. Going to have to break it up into two parts because it just went so long that we like to keep everything within a 40 to 50, maybe an hour window for each podcast. So part two is going to come on Monday. Really grateful and thankful for the support of our sponsors, all of whom we had previous relationships with and can vouch for. Our title sponsor of the Clemson Dubcast, Parham Smith and Archenhold Law Firm in Greenville. Blake Smith and Brooke Archenhold are both Clemson grads, huge fans. The forte of their firm is medical negligence. They represent patients and their family members in medical negligence actions. They also handle all sorts of other complex personal injury litigation. For instance, they handled the Cleveland Park rollover case, also handled the GHS infection cases. Very complex stuff that they are highly trained to do. They're in the business to help people. Free consultations at Parham Smith and Archenhold. So give them a call, 864-990-4581 or www.parhamlaw.com. Also, the Abernathy Boutique Hotel, right smack dab in tailgating territory, fresh off a Herbie prestigious award from Kirk Herbstreit, one of the most distinguished voices in college football. Walk on over there on Saturday, before and after the Furman game. They got a cool tailgating setup at the Abernathy, partnering with Jack Daniels for those events. They'll feature a DJ, multiple bars, games like cornhole, grilling hot dogs and hamburgers. Also during the week, if you want a more low-key gathering spot, if you're a professor, work over at the university, and you want a less chaotic atmosphere, the Abernathy is perfect for that. So go check them out in person right across the street from Lot 2. Check them out online at theabernathy.com. All right, here's our conversation with Robert Smith. Enjoy. Okay, we are here with Robert Smith, former Clemson Tiger, Clemson safety. Welcome to the Clemson Dubcast, Robert. Really appreciate you being here.
Nice to be here.
I guess the last time most Clemson fans saw you was, I guess, in Orlando.
Yeah.
2014 when you guys won a squeaker over Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was an absolute butt-kicking. What a way to go out. Just update everybody on what you've been doing since then, and most recently, I guess, you're doing some magazine publishing.
Yeah, so after Oklahoma game, which was a really, really good game, 40-6. We beat them, and then after that, I quickly went into training. Went down to Florida and trained with Tony Villani, a Clemson alumni, and trained for the NFL. And had a really good testing at pro day and everything like that. And I think I proved a lot of people wrong. A lot of people thought like I was a 4.6, 4.7 guy, and I ended up running like 4.5. Some people had me at like a 4.48, which surprised a lot of people. Not surprised myself. After that, I went on in 2015 draft, and I went undrafted to the Indianapolis Colts, and I was there through all the way through some parts of training camp, and got released, and quickly I got claimed by Seattle Seahawks, who I actually thought was going to draft me. I mean, they were hard on me. I met everybody in their organization. Got picked up though quickly, and flew out to the West Coast, and had a little complications there, whereas I failed my physical when I first got out there. They thought something was wrong with my knee. Went back and forth between Seattle Seahawks. So got there, was there for a little while, and signed a futures deal. Ended up going back out there for a while again, got cut again, came back home, got cut again. Kept going back and forth through Seattle and coming back home. Last year, I had to start making a decision. You know, it was one of those deals. I start realizing, you know, I'm 2-3 years out, and, you know, more and more players going in the NFL. Not only that, the people who are already in the NFL. And in the NFL, you know, life is, you got to show tape. You just got to get on the field. You got to show tape. Nobody can see you practice. All the teams can't see you practice. That's one of the reasons why I kept going back and forth Seattle. They knew what I could do, and they really liked me. But other teams couldn't see that as well, even though I had a lot of interest from other teams as well. But when that one whole deal with they thought something was wrong with my knee, nothing was wrong. I even had to fly to Dr. Andrews down in Florida, and he said nothing. My knee was perfectly fine, nothing was wrong. But it's still that thing out there where someone thinks something wrong. You're a DB, you cut off your knee. So it's just part of the business. You know, it's part of the NFL. It was kind of unfortunate. Still to this day, I think I'm would be a pretty good safety in the NFL. But, you know, I kind of left that stuff in guys' hands. And probably around May of 2017, I still remember it to this day. It was a Wednesday night. I just kind of made a decision. Didn't tell anybody. You know, I was like, hey, you know, I've done a lot of fighting, and I've turned over every single stone, but it might be time to make that transition. I didn't want to be the guy that, you know, just kind of hold on. And I know I had so much more to myself than just playing football. And after that, I got on my knees and I just prayed, and I asked God. I was like, hey, tomorrow morning, if I don't have a text or a phone call, I think I'm going to make that transition. And I'm usually up every single morning by 6 o'clock. I mean, in the last 2 years at that point, I probably only missed like 12 days of training. Every single day I was training, whether it was Sunday, Monday, Saturday, it didn't matter. And I only missed 12 days in the last two years of not training. And I woke up at 8 o'clock, phone was completely blank, and I just burst out into tears and crying like a baby, all the gulping for air and everything like that. And I just prayed and I asked God. I said, hey, can you know, I'm done. I'm done trying to put my hand on this wheel. I'm taking it completely off, and it's all in your hands. Whatever you present to me, I'm just going to take advantage of it. Hey, if you want me to go flip burgers, I'll go flip burgers. And I prayed, and the most ironic thing happened. Coach Brooks called me.
Brooks.
Yeah, me and Coach Brooks has an unbelievable relationship. He recruited me to come to Clemson. He believed in me heavily. Coach Reed called me. Coach Jeff Davis called me. It was my dad called me. I didn't tell my dad. My mom called me. Everybody was calling me out of the blue. And, you know, the thing I just kept thinking about, you know, Coach Sweeney said everything happens for a reason. God never says oops. And I actually went to a Canadian tryout. I killed it. And then I just ran into the situation of the ratio between Americans and a Canadian football league. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, like, so that was kind of like a downer. And on the way from Atlanta, I got a text from Allison Waymeyers, who was working with Clemson at the time. And she said, hey, I think I might have found something for you. Won't you come here Wednesday at 11:30? And she said it was through this company called N2 Publishing. And I was like, all right, what? I mean, I guess they want me to be in some kind of management. You know, what is it? So I did my research and I found out it was like, basically they produce these neighborhood publications that goes in very affluent neighborhoods. And I was just like, I don't know. Nah, I just remember it's like 10:30 and then it turned 11 o'clock and I'm just sitting at my apartment and I'm just like, I'm not going. This is not what I want to do. But I went ahead and I went and I remember just telling her, I was like, do you really think I should be doing this? Like, I mean, do you want me to go from playing football to working with some paper? Like, I don't even have a degree in this. And she's like, hey, just take a chance. You know, what do you have to lose? And honestly, I sat with her that Friday before and she was trying to give me an opportunity with the Carolina Panthers to work as public relations. And she told me that I would be making $7.25 an hour, $5.25 an hour, I can't remember, whatever minimum wage is, and working almost like 70 hours a week. I was like, no, I'm definitely not doing that. So I just kind of felt like my back was kind of up against the wall, but it's kind of show how God works, you know, God work in mysterious ways. And I sat down, and I was introduced about the whole company through a guy named Kevin Jones, who was friends with Tracy Sweeney, who's Coach Sweeney's brother. And immediately it was crazy. I kind of fell in love with it because it was the idea of having your own business, having your own franchise and controlling it the way that you can control it and be the best. And everybody knows I'm a relationship type person. I love giving back. One of the reasons why I play so hard. I come from a very small town called St. George, South Carolina. Not many people come from there to play pro sports. In fact, there's only other one other person who signed a pro contract. In football, and that was Todd Hill, who played here as well. And
your cousin, right?
Yeah, he's my cousin. And, you know, I always wanted to carry them on my back. That was one of the things that pushed me outside of my dad and my family. You know, that's what pushed me in. I had a chance to work with people and affect their lives and produce something that helped them build relationships within the community. Not only that, I had an opportunity to allow businesses to connect with a well-affluent neighborhood that they haven't had an opportunity to connect with them. And one thing I realized then, it was all on me. And then I realized I didn't want to be paid, you know, based off a position. I want to be paid off my performance. And not only that, I remember going through the NFL, you know, it was basically I could perform the best. And these were the words when I left one team. And I asked them, I said, was it my performance? They said, no, we love you. You did everything we asked. We absolutely loved the way you play. And at that moment, that was probably the most disheartening thing. I was like, we're not going off performance. What are we going off of? You know, like I put my heart and soul to this. And anybody knows me from high school, from Little League, all the way up to Clemson. I put everything into what I do and how I do it. I perform the best I possibly can perform and my complete focus. And I mean, I remember times at Seattle, I'll be the first person in the building and I'll be the last person to leave. And that's not just to say that I did it. That was actually me preparing, getting there in time, doing stuff I had to do with my body. And I remember when I got released, it was hard. You know, I cried, you know, because I did so much to get back to that point. So many workouts, so many late nights. I remember going into the indoor facility. Nobody's there. I don't even think they know I was in there.
And at Clemson?
Yeah. And just working out from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. Wake up back 5 o'clock just when the doors open up. So I would go in there purposely because I knew the scouts was going in there to go watch film just so they can see me running and everything like that. I did so much and prepared so hard. And when someone kind of just cuts you loose like that, and you know, I know it's part of the business, it hurts. You know, I remember undeniably, I could not stop crying. It's like one of those things, like, why are you crying? Why are you crying? But when you put so much into something and it means so much to you, and you've been playing it since you were 6 years old, and you know what it means to you. And I was never one of those guys that I felt as though football would be the end of my life. I knew that I would be talented enough to go on and do other things in life. But that's what I want to do. That's what I want to put my eggs in my all the eggs I want to put in the basket. I was the type of guy, honestly, game days were okay. You know, I loved game. Obviously, that's when your fruit of your labor come out. But it's everything that came along with playing football, from watching film to going to lift, just all the small things, you know, eating right. All those small things is what I love about football. And I think that's what made me want to play, because I love the things that came along from the Mondays or the Sundays all the way up until Fridays. Honestly, Saturdays were easy for me. I'll just be completely honest with you. Saturday is 3% of what we do. That's why I always tell people, you know, like, oh, you play football on Saturdays, you're running down the hill. How hard could it be? When you really put all you have into it, and you study, and you pour a lot into it, it is more than just a game. It really is. And not only that, you affect, you know, 10 other people or 118 other people, plus the coaches on a team as well, that's depending on you to do their jobs. And that's the livelihoods, or that could be the determination if somebody goes to the NFL or not, if a scout comes, shows up. But it kind of just led me all up into this point where I own my own publication that goes inside the Cliffs community. It's called Elevation Living. This is a completely residence-based publication. The residence is written by the residents, by the residents. I just kind of like go out and meet with every business that I meet with. I meet with them face-to-face, make sure I uphold the quality of the business inside of there. I meet with the residents, see what they want. It allows them to connect with one another through all seven Cliffs communities. It allows the businesses to connect with all seven Cliffs communities. They're very hard to reach demographic. Obviously, a really affluent demographic as well. But it led me all to that point. I took over the publication. I've grown it crazy. It's just crazy how this has made me so busy. Sometimes I'm a little bit more busier than I have been playing with football. But I mean, we went from 32 pages, now we're up to 84 pages. It is not all advertising, the 50-50 ratio. So that's the difference between what we do as well. And we help build a relationship, branding, and awareness to the businesses, to the residents, and then also connecting business with businesses as well. So it's something that just kind of happened. You know, I found a new passion inside of it. Anybody know who I am? I do everything I can to be the best. I'm a very competitive guy. I don't like to be outworked. There's only one guy in this world who ever gave me a challenge. I would tell me and Grady Jarrett, you know, we were roommates. That guy, he's how I'm playing in the NFL. I live through him. I watch him every single game. I study what he's doing. I talk to him. He is what keeping my dream alive in the NFL. But he's a guy, we was roommates. And I mean, it sounds crazy, but we'll be watching TV. And I said, I bet I can do more push-ups than you. I mean, we're literally having a workout at home, sweating and draining tears. And then, you know, I'll walk in his room, he's stretching. I go in my room and start stretching. I was like, man, this guy just really challenged me. But if you ever watch him play the game, you understand why he's so great. It's not a question to me why he's doing what he's doing at all.
I don't like long-winded questions, but I'm gonna break that rule here for a second. So the end of football, the transition, you know, when you go from being defined by football from when you're 6 years old or whatever, yeah, to when you're 21, 22, 23, 29, whenever that ends, whether in college or the NFL, I don't know if people think or talk or write much enough about that, about how difficult that is. Because let's say, okay, whether you're, you know, in my case, you grow up wanting to be a writer. Well, mm-hmm. That's in your mind. And so you can do that until you're 60, 70, 80 years old. You can even, like, if you grow up wanting to build houses, you can do that until you're mm-hmm. pretty old, you know, retirement age. Football, mm-hmm. I mean, that's yourself, that's your identity, yep, you know, from when you're in grade school. And it's not like you're sitting there in college thinking it's going to end. I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is 80,000 people, you go from 80,000 people watching you play and worshiping you and your teammates to there ain't 80,000 people watching you interview for a job. Mm-hmm. Is that the toughest part psychologically? It's just no longer there, and it's been so much of your identity and who you are for so long?
Yeah, definitely. It's hard in a sense, you know. Because you're known as, I went from Robert Smith, the kid from St. George, Robert Smith, the quarterback, and Robert Smith, the safety, Robert Smith, number 15, Robert Smith, the 27. And then you kind of go to Robert Smith, the business person, and Robert Smith, the, you know, it's kind of just changes it up. And for so long, you know, I think one of the things that I struggle with just a little bit, you know, do people really know who I am? Do they know the type of person? Do they know that I'm a loving person? Do they know that I'm a man of God? Do they know that, you know, I would try to do whatever I can to help anybody in any situation? Do they know that, you know, in college, you know, instead of doing 10 hours, I did 15 hours a week of study hall? You know, do they know the true Robert Smith, or do they know Robert Smith with a helmet, with a paw on the side, with 27 on his back? I think that's the thing that I kind of struggle with the most, because I want people to know who I truly was. And I, you know, football is something that I did, that was a part of me, but it wasn't who I was. And you don't know, you know, because so many people walk up to you and say, oh, you're Robert Smith, you play football, you're from St. George, you're, you know, or you wear number 27. I mean, some people don't even know your name. They know you by your number. And that's probably the one thing that you kind of worry, like, man, you know, am I non-existent in this world? You know, am I just a football player? You know, once I leave from here, you know, will anybody know who I am? You know, because I wasn't a rah-rah guy. I could care less about doing interviews. I can care less about, you know, celebrating after I make a tackle. When I made a tackle, I always felt as though I was supposed to make a tackle. If I didn't make this tackle, I'm letting this team down, because it's 6 points on the board. You know, a lot of people always, first name people always, that I know that they remember me is from Wake Forest. Everybody always remember me from the Wake Forest hit. So I know that's what people know. But, I mean, you go back and watch the film, that hit, I got up and I walked away. Because I know I was supposed to do that. It's something that my dad taught me a long time ago. When you do things that you know you're prepared to do and you know that you can do, you don't got to show off, you know. Crazy thing, I said that one time, and a guy went back and he watched film. He said, well, what about that Syracuse? You caught that pick and you did a little celebration. I was like, honestly, I don't know where that came from. It just happened. Sometimes, you know, that emotion just kind of get the best of you. But I think that's one of the things that you kind of just struggle with. You struggle to know, do people really know who you are? But one thing I can tell you, going to Clemson was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. It still affects me to this day, especially with business. It's crazy how when I can walk into a business and someone can say, hey, I like you as a person. I love you as a football person. I like you as a football player, but I love you as a person. And that's when I realized the things that I did at Clemson, the things that I was taught from my coaches, from my dad, my, you know, anyone who was my support group, that's what affected me in business to this day, because they saw me outside of that, but I didn't know that. I just kind of struggled with that, knowing would people really know who I was. And, you know, the crazy thing is, I know more people now in business than I know in football. People know my face. They know what kind of person I am now. They know where my heart truly is. They know that anything I can possibly do, I'm going to try to do my complete best. But I didn't realize that as a player. And I think that's why a lot of football players struggle with, because they don't realize, you know, you are more than just a football player. You're more than just an athlete. And, you know, if you handle what you've done, especially in a place like Clemson, you know, Clemson has your back. They really do. That's the one thing I can tell you. I mean, probably 50% of my clients are Clemson people. I mean, it's probably, you know, just coincidental that this is a Clemson area. But at the same time, you know, I remember Jim Riggs, how embarrassed I am to say this. I remember I called Jim Riggs and I said, hey, you know, I'm starting this publication, Side of the Cliffs, and I know that's a high clientele for you, where you do a lot of work at. I would love to come inside. And he kind of was talking to me as though I needed to know who he was. And I was like, oh, it's kind of strange. Then I walked into Hot Springs Pool and Spa, and then I saw Zach Riggs. I was like, Zach, what's up, man? Like, he was like, you know, what you doing here? He said, my dad owned this place. He told me he was coming in. I'm like, your dad is Jim Riggs? He was like, yeah. So I walk in, I see his jersey, and I was like, oh my God, I feel so like stupid. Like, this is Jim Riggs. I played for Clemson, and then numerous people said they walked in and tried to do business with him, and he saw what I had to offer. But more importantly, I think it was Zach saw me at practice. He saw that anything that I did full speed with complete focus. And I wouldn't be ashamed to say, or I wouldn't be afraid to say, that he probably talked to his dad about that kind of stuff. You know, because Zach was on scout team a lot, and Zach poured his heart out on there. But not only that, Zach prepared me to get ready for those games. I used to go and tell Zach, thank you. You know, thank you. Without you, I can't do the things that I'm doing. And that stuff led to me having a meeting with him. And then he just cut me off. And I was like, oh, God. He was like, hey, Rob, we're going to do this. I like who you are. I like what your product is. And still today, you know, he's one of the clients of mine. But I don't really think of clients of clients. I tell all my clients, you know, I see you more as family. That's what I come from. That's the background I come from. That's why I learned at Clemson. You know, this would never be a transactional thing. You know, reach out to me. Anything I can do for you outside of business, let me know. But yeah, that's one of the things that football players deal with. You know, it's that identity, like you said. You know, what am I? Am I truly valued in society, or am I just a football player?
Like a video game.
Yeah.
Figure of some sort.
Exactly. You know, you hit the nail on the head.
So what was your major?
My major was I was a health science major with a pre-professional concentration and a minor in athletic leadership. And a lot of people was like, you did what? And you didn't, how did you do that? But honestly, I remember going in and signing up for classes and, well, not signing up for classes, but I remember when I was at Vickery and they was telling me the different courses and how did I find out I want to be in the medical field. I tore my ACL when I was a junior and I had a physical therapist that was so great with me. And she uplifted my spirits. And I just knew I wanted to do something to change people's lives through sports and through the medical field, because so many people are going to go through these same situations. And she was a big part of me coming back and just dominating. I remember my senior year just dominating. And I tell people all the time, little that people know, I had 12 scholarship offers. A lot of those teams, well, all those teams except for one that had offered me, took their offer off the table except for Clemson. And
because of the torn ACL?
Because of the torn ACL. Mm-hmm. I played quarterback in high school. And a lot of people don't know that, but I played quarterback, and I wasn't just an option quarterback. You know, I was throwing for 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns a year. But it was still that stipulation of, hey, you're 5'11", you know, can he really play quarterback? Can he really be effective? We don't know. Do we really want to buy into this guy? And Clemson was from the get-go. They'll say, hey, we're offering you as an athlete. We don't know if you're going to play quarterback. We don't know if you're going to play linebacker. We don't know if you're going to play running back. We know we like you as a football player. And sure enough, how God works. You know, I tore my ACL. Every one of them took their offer. I remember school showing up to offer me. And they heard I tore my ACL. They said, whoa, we're going to wait till he come back and see if he can play. Most disheartening thing. I wouldn't even go visit Clemson because I was afraid they were going to take their scholarship back. And I remember Dan Brooks calling me and saying, hey, when are you going to commit? I was like, what? He's like, man, we don't care if you tear your other ACL. We want you. We love you as a player. And that meant the world to me. But yeah, it was just, you know, I just think a lot that's going on in my life is just God-driven, you know, from any kind of situation I'm in to what I'm in now.
Want to welcome a new sponsor to the podcast, Tandem Payment, credit card processing company headquartered in Greenville. They have offices located throughout the Southeast. One of the owners, 2005 Clemson grad, and he's forced the other owner to become a huge Clemson fan as well. All you business owners out there, you know how painful it is to get the weekly phone calls from the national processing companies promising, quote, the lowest rates in the industry. Tandem approaches this part of it completely differently, face to face. Why would you trust the majority of your hard-earned money to somebody over the phone? Tandem utilizes a consultative approach where they look out for the best interests of their potential clients. Tandem is the first company across the country to receive the Better Business Bureau Award for Integrity. They employ Clemson grads as well as former Clemson running back Hot Rod McDowell. The newest program they offer is called Cash Discount. You can eliminate up to 100% of your annual credit card processing fees. The best part, it encourages more cash transactions inside your business, plus you save the typical processing fees you pay annually. Call Tandem today to learn more about how to eliminate your credit card processing fees. 864-672-1570 or TandemPayment.com. So during your college career, I'm sure you were, even though you wanted to continue football at the professional level, you're probably thinking ahead. What were you thinking you wanted to do? Probably something involving your major, I guess.
I had no idea.
Okay.
The reason why, and I knew that I can go on and go to medical school, I can be a physician assistant, or I can go and be a physical therapist. But honestly, I struggle with the fact that I want to play football so bad. I knew if I went in those fields that I wasn't going to go pay money to go to medical school and then a football team called me and I was just going to drop out. I didn't really want to cut those ties so much. And I had no clue what I really wanted to do. And also that mental aspect of I was exhausted from NFL and I was like, man, like I don't want to go back and studying and staying up and worrying about medical this and medical that. And I actually thought about going to coaching. I've approached Coach Sweeney and I think he really wanted me to do it. I know Coach Venables was really kind of excited about it. Coach Reed was excited about it. And then I kind of got presented that opportunity, and then I knew me personally, I had to step away from football for a little while. And that's not to say I won't never ever explore those opportunities again, but me personally, I had to step away and really find myself as a person and say, hey, let me see what I am outside of football. I know I can do football. I know I can coach. I know I'll be a phenomenal coach, to be honest with you. I know that, you know, those things that I've been in like taught a long time ago. I was a son of a coach, you know. But I needed to step outside of my comfort zone. As I always tell people, football is like a warm blanket to me. Anything I know that I needed to run back to, I can run back to football. But I need to take that blanket off and feel the cold world. And I'm glad I did, because I learned so much more about myself. I learned so much more about the world and just kind of just the everyday life of going out and doing business or dealing with people or all kind of different stuff.
It's interesting you talk about going out of your comfort zone. You know, talk to Ben Boulware, you know, running a fitness facility really has nothing to do with what he learned in his studies at Clemson. And you, with you, what you're doing now is totally different from what you studied. It's almost like, well, tell me if I'm right here, what you learned in football helped prepare you to push yourself out of your comfort zone? Is that?
Without a doubt. I was just in Asheville, North Carolina yesterday, and I spoke to A.C. Reynolds Middle School. Great program, great things going up there. I mean, it's crazy. It reminded me of when I was playing as a little kid. You know, all the little leagues, all on one field, cheerleaders and everything. But, you know, football by itself teaches you so much more in life. And especially going to a place like Clemson, you adapt. Whatever situation you're in, you adapt. And I like to tell people all the time, you know, I did it in my own research. 83% of the people, whatever they get their degree in, they don't even do it. You know, they do something different inside of it. And I kind of look at it as, you know, not saying your degree doesn't matter, because it definitely matters. But I think when you're getting hired by someone, I think that degree shows that you can go somewhere and go through challenging situations where you have to study, you have to do this and you have to do that, especially like a place like Clemson. Because I tell people all the time, Clemson's not easy. Mm-hmm. And the professors, I don't know how other schools do it. They don't take it lightly on us because we play football at all. But it shows that you can go somewhere, you can go through it 4 years and complete it. You can complete situations, you can complete tasks, and you know it's, you know, a hard school to go to, and it's hard to get inside as well. But football teaches you how to be a man, and how to be on time, how to be punctual, how to be work with teams, you know, how to go through adversity. You know, there's so many things that go inside the building that people don't know about. You know, halftime adjustments you make, or, you know, we could be studying on Monday and getting ready to play NC State. And then on Wednesday, we got to make adjustments to what we're doing on the fly. I mean, those things that happen inside of the game that people don't know, like, it's really a difficult game to play, and it takes a collective effort from so many people, not even just the coaches, you know, from Tim Barrett, you know, things like that. People don't realize, you know, stuff like that is really, really, really key. But that's the reason why me personally, I think athletes are some of the best people to hire. I think they've been through so much. You know, I had a company say, hey, can you be here 7:30 in the morning? I said, sure. He said, well, can you be at 7? I said, sure. And he was like, so you're driving an hour away, so that means you have to wake at least, you know, 5:30. I said, I woke up 4:45 to go to 5:30 workouts. This is nothing. I mean, it just really, it truly is nothing. And at a place like Clemson, you learn that kind of stuff. That's why I was told people, I'm forever indebted to Clemson, not just Clemson football, just Clemson fans, the area, you know, the whole upstate, even from, you know, in the low country as well, because what I've learned here has taught me to prepare at 25 years old. There's nothing in this world I feel like I can't do. If someone told me, hey, you got to learn how to build a house and become a custom home builder, I know that I can do it. It's not something that I question at all. But that comes from the game itself. You know, somebody asked me, do you think in like 20 years that the game of football will be gone? I said, well, the way it's going, it seems like that, but it would be a shame if it does, because it teaches so many lessons within itself that's going to help you prepare for life.
You mentioned Jim Riggs. Was it that your first advertiser, I guess?
No, it wasn't. Actually, my first advertiser was Joey Martin. Who's a Clemson fan, you know, Joey Martin was my first one, and he believed in me. And
real estate.
Real estate. And I think the next one after that was Ernie Wright with Benjamin F. Edwards right here in Clemson. And then the next one was Turner's Jewelry. And also, you kind of see where I'm going at, you know, just the area. And I don't care if I could have been the best Clemson football player to step through. But if I was a terrible person, they wouldn't want to do business with me. Even though they love me as a football player, their business mean a whole lot more to them than just saying, like, hey, he's a Clemson football player, let me do this. They knew what kind of person I was. And it was crazy. A lot of people said, man, like, you seem like you've been doing this forever. And I hadn't. But one thing, you know, credit to a lot of things that are the programs we have inside of Clemson, I was taught these things while I was in school. Because one day, the fact of reality is, like I was telling the middle school yesterday, you know, the fact is, it's about 100 of y'all out here right now. Maybe 5 of y'all will go D1. Maybe 1, if any, will go on and play in the NFL. But the fact is, all of y'all are going to be sons. You're going to be husbands. You're going to be a brother. You're going to be a nephew or what have you, a teammate to someone. And that's never going to change. And you have to start preparing yourself now to be the best you can possibly be. Football will come and go. It's just a fact of reality. And right now, I probably watch football less, unless I'm watching my teammates that I play with at Clemson or who I grew up with in the NFL. And now it's so much more, how can I be a better son? How can I be a better brother? How can I be a better teammate? I'm not really locking myself into just football itself.
When you sealed that first deal, was it like, was it similar to a feeling on the football field, getting an interception?
It was everything. Just the fact that, and it wasn't just about the money, honestly, it wasn't. It was about me starting a new career and knowing that, you know, I can do this. You know, I can go out here and be successful in life outside of just football. You know, that was just a confirmation for me that, hey, I'm more than just an athlete. I can go out here and conduct business. I have the tools to go out here and be a business person and be something outside of football. That's why it was so exciting to me. I remember my first interception, my first college game. I think it was my third or fourth play. And I remember Coach Steele saying, hey, when they do this formation, this is what you're going to do. If they do this formation, this is what you're going to do. And I just did exactly what he said. I got an interception. And in the same way, especially with a company like N2 Publishing, I'll just be honest with you, they give you the playbook. They tell you how to be successful. And they told me, hey, this is what you got to do when you're dealing with businesses. You want to be the best person. And mainly what they said, we operate off integrity. Do what you're going to say. You know, don't go over promising. And honestly, that's how it all happened. And all it was just following the playbook. Going back to football, doing what I was taught, just doing what I was told.
You talked about the profile of college football players and how you go from being a celebrity to being just a dude trying to scratch out a living. Coaches making $7, $8, $10 million a year. all these crazy facilities going up. Is a scholarship and the other stuff you get now, or that college football players get now, is that enough in your opinion?
I know that's a sore topic, but honestly, no. I don't think a college football player should be on a salary. And I'm not sure if you sit here and put $10,000 in a kid's pocket in college. I mean, yet alone, you see what happened when you give a guy millions of dollars when you go to the NFL. He's 21 years old. But it's one of these things that, what if it's some kind of like trust fund, you know? And it don't have to be $10,000. It may be, you know, $2,000. Because the fact of reality is, even though I want to play, I mean, I wanted to have a job somewhat, have some kind of income coming in. For guys like me, guys like Ben Bulwer, guys like Grady Jarrett, when you pour everything inside it, there's no time. It's just no time at all. My last semester, because I had such a hard major, over the summer, every year I was taking chemistry, I was taking biology, I was taking physiology, wow, and anatomy. And along with all of those, I had labs. So literally, you know, I would have to work out in the morning, you know, 5:30 or 6 o'clock, whenever I work out, and I have to go to class. And then after class, I had labs. And like my last semester, I was working at Clemson Sports Medicine and Rehabilitation, which is now, it's named something different now. But I had 180 hours to get in 2 months.
Holy moly.
So I would work out, go to my internship because it was a requirement inside my major. I would come back at 4 or 5 o'clock or around that time, skills and drills or whatever we had that afternoon, go home, had to study because I still had these other classes that I had as well, and to get back up and do it all over again. And that's the thing that people don't see. You know, that's the thing that we're in that time that I had to do a job. My job is football. That's how I'm paying for my schooling. It's like I told some people, you know, a lot of people, oh, well, you're getting your schooling taken care of. And I was like, honestly, you know, just because I play football, you know, what's the difference between somebody going on an academic scholarship and someone going on an athletic scholarship? You know, they worked hard in their academics to get to the university they want to have a full ride. And the same thing with, you know, any kind of athletic scholarship. You know, we just had different ways of getting there. And I know it's a sore topic and people say, well, you get this and you get that. You really don't, you know, compared to what's going on. And that's why I'm a big believer in Clemson. You know, Clemson is outside of the norm. They do everything they possibly can do with inside of the rules for the actual athletes. That's a credit to Coach Sweeney, Coach Dan Radakovich, President Clemens, all of that stuff, because they do everything they possibly can do to make the experience, because they know it's not easy. They know it's not an easy situation to come in here and be a college athlete. But in fact, reality, it's hard. And it's like I was telling someone else, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people heard of McKenzie Alexander, where he comes from. You know, they depended on him to wake up every morning to go out and work. You know, that's another hand to help pick the fruit and the tomatoes and everything that we're doing. Him coming to college actually is a disservice to them and to his family, mm-hmm, in a sense. If he makes it, that's great. If he doesn't, you know, that's less hands, you know, to help. So when you put it in that perspective, a lot of those kids come from that situation where they have to work, you know, they have to produce an income inside of those homes, and them coming to college is really a prayer shot. You know, it is, hey, yeah, we can go in and get your degree. But if you don't, if you get hurt or what have you, what's next? You know, we for 4 years, we missed out on, or we struggled just a little bit more. And I know all those families, they're more than welcome to give their kids those opportunities, but it's just a fact of reality at those points. It's just a situation where I feel like there should be some kind of, and I know they have some kind of stipend now, but maybe it's something you set up and say, hey, this kid, you know, these kids, what we'll do, we put some kind of trust fund, and they can't touch it till they're 25, because it's still yet, I mean, like I said, it's been proven. Some of these kids, when you get millions of dollars, you're not thinking about paying taxes. I mean, all your life, all you had to do was worry about video games and cars and all that kind of stuff like that. So how could you expect them to know how to do this stuff? And it's kind of like I was telling the guy, you know, if people had the mindset of, yeah, I'm making millions of dollars, but I never made $30,000. I never made $40,000. I never made $60,000. So why don't I just live off a $60,000 budget? I never had it before. And I know that there's a lot of things that you want to address. That's the reason why you want to make it to the NFL. But, you know, I did my own research. In the state of South Carolina, at least in South Carolina, $60,000, you can live a pretty comfortable life. And but as just education wise and, you know, just implementing more programs to help not just football players, but all athletes to kind of be aware of those situations when you get out. I mean, I didn't understand taxes. Mm-hmm. And when I got that first paycheck from the NFL and that thing was chopped in half, I was like, whoa, it's not as much money as I thought it was, you know, just like, you know, my first contract, you know, for that year, I would make $525,000. Well, if I make it through the whole year, and not only that, if I make it through the whole year, basically all that would be chopped in half. Now you're looking at $250,000. So you're looking at $250,000, then you still got your agent, you got your living expenses that you have to pay. You pay taxes in every state that you play in. So many other things that come from that. So don't get me wrong. No, you still come down to maybe $225,000, $200,000. It's still a lot of money. But at the same time, when your contract is not guaranteed, you know, how long is $200,000 going to last? You know, and the statistics have proven, you know, the average lifespan of the NFL player is 3 years. So how long would that actually last? And just like I was going in and out. So I was skipping paychecks, you know, between that, you know, and a lot of players do that. And I think by the time like me right now hitting it 25, it would have been very beneficial if I had something like, all right, well, football is gone, obviously. Now, how can I have that? Could I use it to invest, to get a home? You know, maybe my family need it at this point. You know, maybe look at different opportunities, but I don't think it should be a salary per se, but I think it should be some kind of system set up to help the athletes. Whether it's to educate or send them to classes or what have you, a trust fund to help them through the time that they miss. And it's not to take away from anybody paying to go to school or academics or anything like that. And that's a hard life too. My sister did it. I know exactly the life and how hard it is. But at the same time, there is some different opportunities. There's pros and cons of every situation. But from an athlete's perspective, I know what it would have been if I could have did something to send back home to help my family or what have you. You know, even though Saturdays are great, we play in the best stadium in America, we still got real life situations that go on as well.
You keep up with Martin Jenkins. Obviously, he's pretty high profile now with the Kessler lawsuit or whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not really informed in it. I don't know a whole lot that's going on. I know this is a situation that kind of happened while we was actually in school. But I believe in his fight for trying to fight for different things for student athletes. Benefits for student athletes, what they're going through. And I've seen, and I kind of kept up with it a little bit. They made some headway with it. It's some situation that's coming up that looks like it's going to be positive. But I know the type of person Martin is. I know his reasons is not, hey, I want to be paid, you know, $100,000 to go to college. I know it's just a fight for situations and reasons to give college athletes more opportunities outside of just football. It was like I said before, going to Clemson has been great and it's completely out of the norm for a lot of people. A lot of these universities, you know, speaking to other people, they don't have the same opportunities that Clemson give their student athletes. They don't have a fan base that really backs them. It's kind of like, hey, you're here. When you're gone, you're on your own. So, you know, from Clemson fans' perspective, I can kind of understand a little bit. But these other schools out there, it's not like that. You know, it's a transactional business. Hey, you get them in, you get them out. You get them in, you get them out. You know, it's a factory for a lot of these places, especially when you come to some of these small schools. You know, they don't have the resources to give them at all.
I think I read somewhere you're the first person to go through Paul Journey and get a full-time job.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I remember. Let's, I guess, enlighten a little bit on the Paul Journey. I remember talking to Patrick Sapp maybe 6-7 years ago before the Paul Journey came into existence. And one of his concerns at the time was, okay, yeah, we're treating these football players and student athletes well when they're here, but what happens when they leave? What are we doing to put them in position to succeed post-football? Can you just give me your insight and experience with Paul Journey? Obviously, the brainchild of Jeff Davis, he's the one who heads that up, does a great job, but I just think people out there probably have seen the name Paul Journey but aren't totally, I guess, informed about what exactly it is.
Another reason what makes Clemson different than a lot of universities. I remember sitting in Jeff Davis' office, and he had this vision, and he talked about it. He talked about it, and, you know, he had a little setbacks. But one thing I saw when that new facility came, that was a point of emphasis. And just for it to be at the front of the building lets you know it's just not something for a recruiting tool. You know that it is something. And just luckily, I was that guy who was going through the situation right when everything was kind of taking off. And but to have a program like that for Jeff Davis and what he's doing for those kids, getting them ready outside of football is huge. You know, how many of these people have never been to a foreign country? I went to my first foreign country when I was a freshman in college. It was on a cruise. Do I count that? Yeah, I do. But it's still not the same. My first time going to a foreign country was this past summer. I went to France. You know, to experience that kind of stuff in college and to get on a flight. I mean, my first time flying was in college. I learned how to tie a tie in college. You know, to experience that kind of stuff in a program they have going on is truly amazing. Honestly, that's one of the things I'm really proud of for Clemson, taking that next step and saying, how are we going to affect these kids outside of football? Yeah, we're doing a lot already, but we can always do more. And that's why Coach Sweeney always says, best is the standard. And even though we're doing good, we can always be better. And that's the mindset you always have to have. If you're a player, you're a business person, how can you be better? And just talking with Jeff Davis, I remember he sat me down. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I said, I want to play football. No, what do you want to do? I want to play football. Hey, I understand that. But the fact of reality, that road is going to end one day. What do you want to do? I mean, he made me write down all kinds of different stuff. And they were there to help me every step of the way through the whole situation. And I mean, till I can go walk inside of there. Hey, what do you need? How can we help you? You know, just that kind of stuff. And honestly, that program affected me so much to this day, because a lot of the players, they're afraid to come back around, because you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the person like, man, you know, like, we thought you would have been doing this, you know, like, you know, we thought this would have been going on in your life. What are you doing around here? It's always that sense of like embarrassment in a sense. And that program has allowed people to come back and feel welcome, not just saying like, man, you know, I'm going to be that guy just hanging around practice and just reminiscing and, you know, trying to latch on. And in the players who come around, they're not really trying. They're really seeking help. You know, how do you go from eating this and knowing you got a well taken care of meal and you go in the world? I mean, I remember talking to Jadar one time. He was like, man, I got to go find my own place to eat. And I said, yeah, that's just the way it happens. But, you know, the things they have set up there at Paul Journey, and they're still improving and making it even better. They're not just saying like, hey, we have this and we're just done. You know, they're looking at ways to expand and how to help more. And it helped me so much. One day, honestly, that's the job I want to have. I want to be over Paul Journey because it affected me that great that I want to help the next kid that go through that. I want to help, you know, the person, you know, I've been doing recruiting. I've been through college. I've been through getting cut. I've been through signing in the NFL. I've been through getting a job. I've been through those steps. And I respect Jeff Davis so much and what he's doing, and Coach Sweeney for taking that next step in the program and making it different. And, you know, one thing I always go back and I always tell people, quote unquote, Coach Sweeney is kind of like Jesus walking on earth. How does a guy predict that a horse is going to win and he wins? You know, that's one of the crazy things. And I mean, he's just always been like that. I mean, like, literally, we'll be in the players' lounge and he'll hit like in the basketball game. He'll hit like 30 shots in a row. How do you do that? And, you know, but you know, when you live in the right way, God blesses you, and that's what he's doing. He said a long time ago, I want Clemson to be the model program in the country. And that's what he's setting out to do. He's not resting on winning a national championship. He's not resting on winning ACC games. He's not resting on getting a new contract. And just that program alone, you know, that's one of the things that my goal in my life, I want to be a part of that program one day because I know how it affected me. I want to affect my teammates that I play with, the ones that became before me, and the ones that's, you know, in the future as well. That's just a great program. I wish I would have thought of it and, you know, would have did that. But I mean, it's kind of overwhelming. It's even hard to think about it because I was that kid. I'm in that situation. Like, I remember my dad said, I said, well, I don't want to go to medical school right now. What did I do? He said, well, go talk to Jeff Davis. Don't they have Paul Dernier? There's your resource. And just for your own parent to say something like that, go back to your university where they're willing to help you. A lot of people don't have that. And that's what separates Clemson. And I know some people try to say, oh, you got orange goggles on and everything. But no, it seriously is a different school. It's a different environment. It's a different fan. It's just a different, it's something special in the hills, like people say.
Where you don't feel like a disposable commodity.
No.
Once you're gone.
No, I mean, I think they just put, I can't remember the exact numbers, 18 people on the Clemson staff that were former players.
Wow.
That says a lot about Clemson and Coach Sweeney itself. You know, you're invited as a football player. I mean, I could walk in that building right now and people say, hey, you know, they invite you, hey, you need to work out. You know, here's a gym, you can go work out. And how can we do to help you? That's just the difference. And, you know, and that's kind of like me, honestly, where I know that, you know, like I said, I wasn't a rah-rah guy, but that's when I kind of knew I kind of left my legacy when you got these freshmen comes in and it was like, oh, that's Robert Smith. That's Robert Smith. I'm like, what? And I just kind of asked one of the players, like Jalen, was like, how do you know who I am? Like,
you know, 2014 defense was pretty good, Robert.
Yeah. But still, you know, it was like, well, how do you know me? You know, like, that's crazy. And he was like, little do you know that Coach Venables shows clips and talk about you all the time. And that to me is like best feeling. I don't care about being all American. I don't care about, you know, being all ACC. First team, yeah, you know, those things would have been great, but at the same time, leaving a lasting impression on the university that you went to and affected the next kid that's coming through there and that's showing that an example for them, that means a whole lot more. Because I did want to be that guy that give the perfect example, you know, like, hey, I'm not perfect, but I want to give you the best example of what I know how to go out and do practice and things like that. But it's just different at Clemson, and I don't have orange goggles on. Speaking to a lot of players that went to a lot of schools, I mean, I can't tell you, I mean, training is like, man, we love coming to Death Valley. Like, it's just the best thing in the world. We love, you know, your fans and, I mean, all kind of different stuff. It's just an all around great place to be.
All right, we're going to cut it off there. Stay tuned for part two of our interview with Robert Smith, scheduled to drop Monday morning. Thanks so much to Robert, who is clearly a busy man these days. Thanks to our sponsors, title sponsor Parham Smith and Archenhold Law Firm in Greenville, the Abernathy in Clemson, Tandem Payment in Greenville. Thanks to the City Champs, Memphis-based band, for some great bumper music. Most of all, thank you all for taking the time to listen. If you want to email us with comments, constructive criticism, suggestions, whatever, ClemsonDubcast@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Twitter, @LarryWilliamsTI. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Cheers.